Hello and welcome to the Round Doita podcast. My name is Tim Richards and it's been a while. No, it hasn't. It's been about a month, which is actually record time for me, so you could just get over it. What a week. What a season. What a manager. What a club. I am really, really quite happy with how Bayern are doing at the moment. If you're not following, which would be surprising considering you're listening to a very unpopular podcast about a very niche German football team. So if you're not following Bayern and you're listening to this, I really can't help you. But if you need updating, Bayern are doing very, very well at this point. They are playing at a very promising level. I don't want to say that they're playing at a very high level. I probably will say that they are playing at a very high level, but they're playing at a very promising level. And the reason why I'm saying that it's promising and not high is because there's things coming up where it's like, okay, this is going to be the real challenge. But just as a recap, Vincent Kompany has not lost a game as Bayern manager, like including preseason friendlies. Like he is undefeated as Bayern manager. And while the real challenges are coming up, how Bayern are playing under him is very promising. So in terms of league performances, Bayern are actually the only team in the Bundesliga to have won all of their matches. And in the top five leagues in Europe, they're actually only one of two teams to have not dropped any points yet. So it's easy to get caught up in the euphoria of winning games, being undefeated, and just kind of assume that, oh yeah, the treble's on the cards. But it is kind of important to look at the context for these games. So in the league, the biggest challenge so far was probably, and it's probably against Wolfsburg if you think about it. Okay, they've played Freiburg when Freiburg were top of the league, but in terms of the games that have been a genuine challenge, the game against Wolfsburg that opened the Bundesliga, that was probably the biggest challenge. There was a point in that game where things started to go downhill slightly, but the team held on, they made a great recovery, they attacked to the end and it paid off. But in terms of what that game was as a whole, across 90 minutes, they went into half-time looking fantastic. They looked really strong. Even players like Sacha Boe, who had quite a difficult season last season, obviously coming in January, having a bit of a horror show against Leverkusen because he was played out of position and obviously getting injured. For him to come back and be so effective in that game was really great to see. And then obviously it all kind of fell apart for him slightly. He gave away the penalty and then they got a second goal shortly after that. But the response that Bayern showed immediately after that, with that continued effort, it was just really positive to see that this is a Bayern team that is, I guess, just relentless. And that's something that we've kind of seen throughout every single game so far. So I guess the other game to talk about there in terms of was it a bit of a challenge or not, is probably the Champions League game against Dinamo Zagreb. Because again, this was quite similar to the Wolfsburg game. They went into half-time 3-0 up, and it looked as if, oh, they're going to score 10. Which, you know, they scored 9, which is not a million miles away from 10. But they looked so confident going into half-time, and then immediately had their confidence dashed. Like, very, very quickly, giving up two goals immediately after half-time, kind of similar, in like a similar way to how they gave away two goals after half-time against Wolfsburg. It really showed that there are things to iron out here in terms of the defensive side. And I mentioned that in my last episode. So this partnership of Diop Mekano, Min-jae Kim, it doesn't fill me with confidence. And against teams like Leverkusen, Frankfurt have long been quite a difficult team for Bayern. Stuttgart, Barcelona coming up, even Aston Villa, and then like PSG later on. It's going to be a bit of a concern. Despite this though, both Min-jae Kim, Diop Mekano, they have been a lot better than they were at this when the season started. So I don't know what the plan is for someone like Eric Dier coming in. I think he did well enough last season to warrant getting some quite valuable minutes here and there. But then you also have players like Josip Stanisic, Hiroki Ito, so like versatile players. And when they come back from injury, like that depth and ability to rotate in and out, it's only going to get better. So if Upamecano and Kim can kind of weather this storm and stay focused, make the right tackles, not get lured into anything dangerous, I'm quietly confident that it will be fine. But then, you know, maybe it won't, and then I'll look like an idiot. But that's fine. I'll just delete these episodes and no one will know. But then with that, I think the defensive side of things is probably Bayern's biggest weak point at this stage. there is a part of this that suggests that being one or two goals, like having one or two goals conceded, it's not really the end of the world because of just how relentless and aggressive the attack's been. So I could kind of extend it just by saying that everybody ahead of Kim and Upamecano has just been fantastic at moving the ball up the pitch at speed with purpose, in particular the midfield of Kimmich and Pavlovic. So I think over the next few games where opponents are going to be a bit tougher and they're not going to sit back and kind of absorb and then try to make a break, I think where you have players like Granit Xhaka, like Pedri as well, when you've Amadou Onana as well, you've got all of these fantastic midfielders that Bayern are going to be facing. I feel like the solution there is to bring João Paulinho in for these games. So I think over the next few games where the opponents are going to be tougher, we can expect to see Paulinho more often. So Kimmich may go to right back. I'm not against seeing Lima at right back. I think he's always been a really useful player for Bayern. I think he's one of those players that kind of comes in and will just kind of do a job anywhere he's told. And you're never going to get less than, like, at worst, like a 6.5 out of 10. I think he's a truly wonderful player, and I'm so happy to have players like him in the squad. But in games like against Barcelona, against Leverkusen, Aston Villa, having someone in the middle whose purpose is just to recover the ball, break up play, that's going to be crucial. So I completely understand why Paulinho wasn't picked against Zagreb and Bremen. I think when you know that teams are going to be defending really deep, having a player like Paulinho can essentially just feel like a wasted body. Like, I think the biggest criticism that people can make against him is that his passing isn't wonderful, kind of in the same vein as like someone like Matthijs de Ligt, for example. But in terms of his ability to pass, it's really not bad. I think I can't remember what the game was. I think it was against Freiburg, maybe. Like, it was whatever goal that Thomas Müller scored in his record-breaking game. I think the pass that Paulinho made for that, like, that kind of led to that movement, that just kind of shows that he, you know, he's not bad. He's certainly not bad, but he is there for a different reason. You wouldn't necessarily choose him as your primary playmaker in that regard. So when you know that teams are going to be defending really deep, having someone like him can maybe feel like a bit of a wasted body. Someone like Pavlovic, for example, he's kind of shown time and time again that he can be so effective at essentially just being the role of a kind of like a playmaker. He's so much more than that, but because of how accurate his passing is, both short and long, and his ability to switch play, his ability to be positive and always move the ball forward, seeing him work alongside Joshua Kimmich, and also, like, you could talk about Joshua Kimmich for hours here because of just how he's doing at the moment. But I get why that partnership was so effective against Zagreb. I can't see that partnership being the way forward against like the tougher opponents like Barcelona, like Leverkusen, like the teams that are just going to like run at you. So as I mentioned about the attack, it's really, really promising. This 20 goals in a week is a fantastic return. So you had 6 goals against Holstein Kiel. That was with relative ease. A Champions League record of 9 against Dinamo Zagreb, although there was a bit of a hiccup just after half time. And then another 5 against Bremen, all without letting them have a shot, which is kind of a nice little vote of confidence to show to Min-jae Kim and Upamecano. This was a really great defensive display. Like, it's one thing to not have an opponent make a shot on target. To have 0 shots in total is a whole other ball game. So, yeah, I think that's really something that I think the defence is going to need to build on to see, okay, you can do this. You can shut out a team entirely. But there are so many people to celebrate here, in large part because there have just been so many goal scorers. So Harry Kane obviously doing what he does best. Serge Gnabry's playing at a very high level again, and hopefully one that he can keep up. Obviously, we say that every year. Leroy Sané got a goal. He came off the bench against Zagreb and managed to get a goal, so hopefully he can keep that up. Obviously, we say that every year as well. Jamal Musiala seems to be taking that Ballon d'Or snub very badly because he's just walking through teams like it's nothing. But the player that's rightfully getting a lot of the plaudits is Michael Olise. So coming off of a great second half of the season with Crystal Palace and then a fantastic Olympic campaign, Olise is just really proving his worth in every single game. And it's not just his output. So he was the first player in Europe's top 5 leagues against Bremen to score and both assist multiple times in one game. And he seems to have this really great, almost innate understanding with Musiala. But one of the things that really stood out to me against Zagreb was just how much of a defensive shift he puts in. So there are a few times that he tracked back, collected the ball from his opponent, and then just carried on with the attack as if it wasn't a big deal. And it's that kind of movement that we were almost so used to seeing so much of from Alphonso Davies in his first season at left back. And it's a shame to have not seen that so much recently. Saying that, I did think that Alphonso Davies had a very good game against Zagreb. The whole idea of extending him based on, well, he did a good game, he had a good performance there. There's a long way to go, but I would like to see Davies extend by the end of the season based on many, many good performances. Because I know that it's there. I know that he can do it because we've seen him perform at such a high level, but that's like a whole other discussion. But what we're seeing from Michael Olise, we've got great recovery pace, seamlessly getting the ball back, turn, starting the attack again, and just all-out attack aggression. It's really, really good. I can't speak highly of it enough. I remember when I saw that the Olise transfer was all but confirmed, and for like 50-something million for a young winger from the Premiership who had been a consistent threat on goal, I thought, yeah, 50 million, that seems like the right sort of price to pay these days. I might be getting ahead of myself, but if he keeps it up, that price tag's going to seem like a steal by the end of the season. So all in all, Bayern are doing very well right now, but they can't afford to be complacent. So there are big challenges ahead with Leverkusen, with Stuttgart. Aston Villa won't be an easy match. You've got Barcelona. Frankfurt isn't one that you can drop points with. So these are big games and probably the first big challenges for Vincent Kompany. Says that expression that everyone has a plan until they get hit. But what we've seen of companies buying is that when they get hit, they respond very well. So the Zagreb game was a great demonstration of this. Two goals conceded very quickly after halftime, but then an immediate response and then a relentless attack. So the fact that their keeper had the highest number of saves for that match day and still conceded 9 legitimate goals, 12 in total if we're counting the ones that were ruled out, it's really quite astonishing. So even right up until the last second, Bayern were still looking for more. And that's a hunger that's only going to do well in the coming weeks. But that's really all I wanted to talk about today. I just wanted to give my 2 cents on Bayern scoring 20 goals in a week. I'm really happy with what Vincent Kompany's doing. It's a decision that I can understand why there is so much reluctance about. But I keep coming back to that idea of when he was the manager of Burnley in the Championship, he was unbeatable. He had such a great run. He was very attacking and he was amongst one of the best teams that the Championship had ever seen. While I'm not saying that Bayern in the Bundesliga is the same as a team at the top of the Championship, I mean that the context of when you are a team that is leading, when you have to attack, it's a much different situation to when you are kind of looking up at the rest of the table and thinking, okay, what are we going to do here? It's very reassuring that, you know, in a sense, Vincent Kompany doesn't know how to just park the bus and sit back. I think what you've seen of him as this very attacking manager, as someone who only knows one gear of just keep going until the end, that's kind of the mentality that you need from Bayern. And I think that whole concept of mentality, of these players aren't giving up, is exactly what Bayern have needed for a very, very long time now. And I'm all for it. But yeah, that's everything that I have to say today. If you've liked this, feel free to leave me a 5-star rating. I've heard that it helps out. Also, feel free to subscribe. It's available on Spotify, Amazon, Apple, Google Podcasts doesn't exist anymore. You can watch it on YouTube. There's no video. It's just waveforms, but I guess it looks pretty. But yeah, follow me on Twitter. I'm on the Bayern subreddit quite frequently. So if you've listened to it, let me know. Really appreciate it. But yeah, that's all I've got to say at this point. So I'll talk to you next time. And yeah, that'll do. See you later.